Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
That Los Angeles sunshine coming through.
Please stand by. Prime Video and Westworld director Jonathan Nolan invite you to Fallout.
After 200 years, we don't know much about what's up there. Violence, desperation, lawlessness.
Everyone wants to save the world, they just disagree on how.
We're gonna get across that wasteland, and we're gonna do it together.
All episodes available now on Prime Video.
Coming back at you with the Lakers Fast Break podcast and our esteemed host, the creator of Lakers Fast Break, has decided to go on a well-deserved vacation. So while he's on hiatus, he's given the keys to his baby, to Mr. Joe Soro. And today, Joe is letting baby bro drive the car. I am your host today, Magic Man, a.k.a. Sean Grice, and my esteemed guest, Joe Soro. And we're coming back at you on a Monday to discuss some NBA observations. And why don't we just kick it off? Joe, what's on your mind right now?
Well, and then the announcement by the NBA and the Players Association about setting a game limit on awards. The details haven't come out yet on what those would be, but it's a start, and it's looking like the momentum, been saying momentum, I feel like the last few weeks, because that's what everything is these days. Yes. towards eliminating load management is starting. I had sent out an email to the group, and Nick Molina made a good point about he doesn't know if it's going to be enough. He thinks that it should be tied to the pocketbook more so than anything. And there's some truth to that, absolute truth to that. But I think that's a more mucky area when you're talking about the money, because then how are you going to prove someone isn't injured, right? So
how do you somebody?
Yeah. In order to get this next CBA finished, completed, and avoid a lockout or a strike, I don't think the players would ever strike anyways, but definitely a lockout, I think this might be the compromise. Well, if you guys are not going to take less money and then the owners are not going to lessen the games, then here's the deal. We're going to – if you don't play more than 68 games throughout the year, or I would put it at 70, hopefully, then you don't qualify to win the MVP. Now, how does that play out in the end? There's really only 5 to 6 guys a year that are going to really warrant an MVP candidacy, right? So that's not going to matter for the guys that are not MVPs. And there's a lot of really good all-stars out there, really good players that we know will never win an MVP. So I don't know what that does to them. I don't think that affects them. But it will affect the Giannis's. It will affect the Anthony Davis's for the next few years. So we're going to we're going towards that way, and I'm sure it's going to get tweaked here as time goes on. But it is a good start, and we'll see how it progresses next year if they implement it next year.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's kind of funny. We're speaking on this voting stuff. You know, it's a lot of times it's very arbitrary, and it's very just very superficial. We kind of saw the absurdity of it when Dan Le Batard once sold his Hall of Fame vote. So we know how fickle and just really, like, there's no standard, right? There's everybody has their different preferences, and so that like you said, Joe, it's very abstract when you get into the weeds. That's for another discussion, but that would be interesting too. So if you see this progressing the way you do towards the end point, what do you think is the end game here? Because you brought up an interesting point there. You said the players wouldn't strike. It would be the owners who would strike. And I agree with you. I don't think there's no way in hell the players would opt for a strike.
Not in this day and age. Not when players are getting paid an average of, what, $4 million now in the NBA?
Yeah.
They're never going to strike. The NBA players will never strike. We saw in 2011 the NFL get this close to going a different route and missing regular season games, and the NFL players wilted like a weak popsicle sticks. They could have buried Goodell and the owners if they had just held off, but they can't. They need that money, and the owners know they need that money, and there's nothing that they can do about it. So it's just one of those things where you're just going to have to come to grips that you're going to, you know, your clientele is not going to go anywhere. You know that they need the money, and a lot of these guys are living paycheck to paycheck, so they're not going to risk that 1 week, that 2 weeks of money. And they know that. And if you know you've got the leverage, you can basically do whatever you want. How this plays out in the NBA, and I've kind of pushed this the last few years. I haven't gone into too much detail on it, but if these road trips are getting difficult for these players to do, or just the schedule in general, then you need to start making the NBA more regional and stop having them play four games against each team and having them going back and forth so much. Maybe you should start making the divisions matter. And I think I heard someone say one time, well, do we really want to see Memphis and the Lakers play eight times a year, or Phoenix and the Lakers play eight times a year? I said, and you know, people get sick of it. I said, you know what's funny? You said that. That's actually what you want. You want it so – that's how rivalries are born, right? I've had that. I feel like that's happened while watching games. There's certain teams we will play three times in like 3 weeks, right? And I'm like, I'm really sick and tired of playing this team. That's how rivalries start. So if you want to stop the little crybabies from being, you know, working too much, getting paid $40 million a year, then make it more regional, make it more less travel. And have the divisions matter at this point, and see if that can create some buzz instead of going through all this trouble of going through in season tournaments and play-ins and all this. I just think you should simplify it if you can, and try to make it worth everyone's while without, you know, adjusting too much to where the integrity of the game is compromised.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like just speaking matter-of-factly, I mean, that's one of the few logical, reasonable concessions that the league and the players might have to accept if they want to keep this load management crap, and they want to make sure that the salaries just keep going up, because we know the cap's going up to 175 mil pretty quick. So if nobody wants to upset the apple cart here, And it's best tip for everybody to find reasonable solutions, Joe. And that's one of the better ones.
Yeah, the upsetting the apple cart is code for I don't want to lose money.
Yeah.
The owners don't want to lose money or the players. They have the TV contracts well in hand, despite what's been going on with Bally's.
Crazy money. Crazy money about to be.
The salary cap going up will always be the determining factor of whether your league is successful or not. If the salary cap is going up, that means the league is making more money this year than it did last year. Mm-hmm. Therefore, all the hot talk, all the hot air, I should say, from the quote-unquote general public or, you know, casual fans means nothing. And the COVID year should have taught you that they don't care about you and they don't care if you're in the stands. You are a cherry on top of the cake, okay? They already have the cake baked. They have the icing. They have that little whatever the hell that swirl is on the side. They have the little fruits on there.
The frosted,
you know,
swirl,
that's,
yeah,
that's in and around that three-layer cake. And then all you are is a cherry on the top. Now, you can live without the cherry. You know, some I know people that just take the cherry and throw it away. I eat it because I like it. But we're cherries, okay? The gambling has taken on a whole new – I mean, gambling's always been there, but it's never been this accepted, right?
Yeah, no one's saying about that.
Yeah, so now you got housewives. You got all these regular people probably betting, as long as you're in a state that's legal, that's legalized. But I'm sure that the illegal sides of things, they can kind of circumvent with a good VPN. And we're here sitting here complaining about something that likely doesn't matter because the numbers are saying that you don't matter. We are getting our money one way or the other, and there's nothing you can do about it. Because you would think that after all the cord cutting the last probably 5 to 10 years, you would think that these contracts would get, you know, compromised to some degree. It's quite the difference. It's actually gotten bigger. Streaming sites, I mean, I don't know.
That's
I'm not a big, I'm just not a big fan of streaming because your programming is dependent on your internet. So if your internet tends to be slow and you got to turn it off, now you have to stop your viewing and go another route. I hate that. That's why I continue to have DirecTV as a TV source, because I don't have to worry about my internet going out and not being able to watch TV or get onto my phone. There's a certain technology that you can't defeat. And to me, reliable satellite or direct cable is going to always be the last line of defense in my book, or downloading what you want to watch. And that's kind of where I stand on that. But anyways, the league is healthy. It's prospering. Yet we're sitting here complaining about its mechanics. Maybe it's just us. At the end of the day, maybe it's just us.
That's quite possible. You know, there's just been, you know, it's interesting when you put all this into perspective, because back in 1998, okay, game six, Michael pushes off, makes a shot. Do you know how many people were watching game six of the NBA Finals that year, Joe?
I believe it was, what was the rating on that one? I think it was like a 28 or something.
It was 33.6 million people.
Yeah.
And the population in the United States back then was a lot less than it is now. And there was a study that said there was basically a TV in every three households in the United States, and every TV that was watching game six at some point. Now, move forward, right? It's interesting when you talked about the 2020 bubble. The highest rated finals game for 2020 bubble was 5. So Explain those machinations to me. Because I'm, you know, we're hardcore fans. We're not the casuals. Nobody comes here for casual conversation. So when I think about something like that, I agree the league is healthy. And in some ways, it's been benevolent or globally rather than ignoring what's going on here. Because they don't, like you said, they don't really care what's going on here. But the numbers suggest more people were watching game six in 98 than in 2020. Now, contrast that with the NFL. In 1998, do you remember who played in the Super Bowl, Joe? You're on mute, Joe.
Are you talking about the 98 season?
Yes.
So the 98 season was Denver against the Atlanta Falcons.
Falcons, that's right. Yeah. Over 75 million people watched the Super Bowl that year. Do you know what the rating was on the last one?
What was it? 116, I think.
Yeah, crazy. So you've doubled that. The NFL has basically doubled their audience in the same amount of time. Whereas the NBA has kind of gone down a little bit as far as, you know, basically being a national sport, so to speak, because NFL is the king, right? Like nobody will ever supplant the NFL in American sports as hard as they want to. So if you're hoping for second, would you say the NBA is second or Major League Baseball is second, Joe?
I've always said that the top three, and this has been 30 years, that it's always been the NFL, NBA, and MLB in order. The NBA took over officially, in my assessment.
During the 94 strike?
Well, the 94 strike was not good, but Mark McGwire and Sammy Sosa brought it back 4 years later. So I can't really hold on to the 94 strike too much because it came back with a vengeance with that home run chase. Touché. And the coverage of sports has changed in a lot of ways. The marketing of certain players has changed because, you know, you can look back on the 90s and say, well, Michael Jordan was a marketing marvel that's still never really been matched and probably never will be. I think the only one that I would say that might be close would be maybe Bo Jackson. But Bo Jackson was a reluctant star. He was very country, you know, even though Jordan did come from country himself. I think Jordan embraced the glitz because he knew it meant something for the league. It meant something for his brand.
Bo's preference was privacy.
Bo's preference, I don't think it's talked about enough. His upbringing and the way he carried himself was always 10 times better than what he actually was.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
And God bless him for what he did for the parents in Uvalde. Yeah. That was.
That's not something new, Sean. Dude, that guy has done stuff like that his whole life. I'm not talking about sports related. Like Bo Jackson's values, they eclipse his sports.
I'm telling you why I became a Raiders fan, Joe, and that he's the only reason.
Yeah, and rightfully so, because again, he epitomized
greatness.
He epitomized a lightning bolt that just has not really ever struck since. You just don't see that. You don't see the total.
No. The closest I've ever seen is Randy Moss as wide receiver, but I've not
from a athleticism standpoint. Absolutely, yes. Randy Moss, his explosiveness was very. He was the Bo Jackson of wide receivers, no doubt. The first 7 years of his league, of his career, I 100% agree on that. Going back to the kind of the culture of sports in the 90s, you drew a rating that high because you had the greatest athlete, the most popular person probably on the planet, maybe next to Michael Jackson, at the peak of his powers, who happened to have games that were so engaging. I mean, he seemed to always have those games where it was entertaining until the end, and then he closed it.
Yes.
You know?
He's a showman.
And he it always worked out like that. And we don't really have that. We don't really have that now in a lot of ways. And at the same time, a lot of the athletes, a lot of the celebrities, a lot of the people on TV have been affected by societal's needs and wants. The bubble ratings were a few things that caused that issue. Number one, yeah. People didn't really take the tournament seriously, so they weren't really interested.
Mm-hmm.
There was too big of a gap during that time, and I don't think they were able to acclimate themselves back into an NBA season after almost 6 months. You also had the social situation, what was going on. A lot of people got turned off on that. And then on top of that, you...
Yeah, it was a confluence of things.
You didn't feel like watching sports at the time. You were
concerned
about...
Not. You know, after about a month, Joe, I forgot about it, man. I really did.
I'm not going to say it wasn't serious, though. I'm not going to say that the competition wasn't great. Because it was. I was watching those games, and those guys were playing. And it's still – that court is still the same as any other court. And that location and those rigorous rules played massive mind games on a lot of these guys. I joked about it, but not really, about how it affected certain players because they were so used to certain freedoms that they weren't able to have during that time, and they couldn't put it on the back burner and say, look, we're going to take care of business and we'll be gone. Let's take care of business and be gone. And that's why I always try to give – it's going to always sound like I'm homering for my team, but let's look at it from an objective standpoint. The fact that the Lakers put all that – you know, all those rigorous rules and demands behind them and focused on winning should be rewarded, detracted. That was a difficult process to constantly be in tested, and you can't walk. They were basically prisoners for 3 months. They lived like prisoners. Not prisoners, but it they couldn't do anything. So rich or not, guys.
You're confined.
That's it. They were confined. Rich or not, guys, when you're a mouse stuck in a box, you're gonna go stir crazy.
Yeah.
So they should be that to me evened out in terms of okay, well, they didn't have to travel, they didn't have to do this. I like, yeah, but they were sitting in their hotel room going nuts. You know, that's the just because hey, you anytime somebody walked outside,
exactly.
You can't do anything. Yeah.
You can only play video games for so long. You can only watch movies for so long. It gets to you after a while, and you know some people go a little squirrely. Naturally.
And we've probably started getting out of that funk because of the fact that the 2021 season had to start so quickly. So maybe the health situation became was exacerbated by that, and it kind of still tailing into possibly 2022, but now it's starting to get to the point where, all right, guys, you've had a couple summers here that have kind of gone back to normal settings. Okay, enough of this taking days off every other day. Baseball players take a day off. It's accepted in that sport because they're playing 162 games, and you got players that can cover you. You can't cover Giannis. You can't cover Steph Curry. This is a different sport. In the NFL, you can't miss games anyways because you don't get paid. You're sacrificing, you're risking, unless you're a quarterback, you're risking guaranteed money. And you're only going to get your money. Really, most of those guys only get one big contract in their careers. So they got to make it count. But where this goes, I'm kind of interested in seeing where it does go. It's a good start, I'd say. I didn't expect them to tie it to the awards. I thought that was kind of a cool setup. But we're gonna get a chance to see here where it goes once this new CBA gets signed.
Absolutely, absolutely. So now as we segue into what's going on the court, I'm currently watching the Memphis Grizzlies destroying the Dallas Mavericks. It's 96-78 with 8:45 left in the fourth quarter. Kyrie Irving is not playing. Make of that what you will, ladies and gentlemen, because he will certainly be in the lineup Friday night. I can guarantee it. I guarantee he will be in the lineup for the Mavs on Friday. But looking at the Eastern Conference right now, Joe, here's how I break it down. You agree, disagree, hold on anything I'm saying, all right? So we got the Beasts of the East. Basically got the Bucks, the Greenies, and the Sixers. That's your top three. Those three are the only ones who have legitimate chances of making a finals appearance and obviously a chance of winning it. Cleveland's probably going to win a round. And then after that, you look below, and while the Knicks defeated us yesterday, and congratulations, blah, 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 I think the Knicks and Nets are playing for who's going down in six and who's going down in five, Joe, because I think whichever team plays the third seed maybe wins a game at the most. And I think the best that one of those teams could do against the Cavs would be a six-game series. So agree, disagree, hold. What do you think about the East right now?
I agree that the Eastern Conference will likely play out. The top four will be in the final four in the East. And then I could see a possible upset with Philly playing Boston in the second round. But if I had to choose, I'll say the Celtics and Milwaukee in the Eastern Conference Finals. And then that'll come down to who's likely the healthiest to get through whatever that series is. That would be a pick 'em series if I had to pick today.
Absolutely. It is worth noting now that Brook Lopez has pretty much put himself in the pole position to win Defensive Player of the Year. He leads the league in blocked shots. He leads the league in contested shots. You know, it's impressive the way he's changed his game, Joe, over the years, because when we remembered him first coming into the league, he was basically a 2010 power forward who had a really nice mid-range game. He's been able to expand his game out and still maintain an interior presence, more so even. I really loved him as a Laker. I really wish we would have kept him, because I think that would have been a weapon for LeBron and somebody who obviously would have rapport with him on the court. Be that as it may, things happen the way they happen. But we got a chip, and he's got a chip. So let me get your quick opinion on Brook Lopez possibly winning Defensive Player of the Year.
This is almost like Marc Gasol winning the Defensive Player of the Year. It's coming out of nowhere. I did not expect Brook Lopez in his double-digit seasons to be a force on defense, which only adds to a more it adds more to the fact that Bud is a pretty damn good coach, and whatever Giannis and crew has kind of rubbed off on him. I mean, it's just remarkable that my brain couldn't register even 2 months ago that there was a possibility of Brook Lopez being a defensive player of the year candidate. I don't understand how that's possible. I really don't, but he's put in the work. I commend him for it. He got really good with his 3-point shooting. So the guy seems to pick something during the summer when he's not doing a Star Wars thing. And
that's Robin.
He's improving his game where you never thought in a million years he'd be good at. So I he's such a good dude too. I mean, he's just a good person. So it adds to the fact that you want to support him and you're happy for him. You're happy that he's gotten to this point in his career. I do remember that time, that last season, and I don't even think they called him.
No.
I think he commented on it. Magic didn't even give a damn whether he was
going to be there or not. Yeah, it was like, damn.
And it's crazy. You know, we think that guys like Magic Johnson, the freaking basketball savants, and the Michael Jordans, you look back on some of their decision-making in basketball, the game they mastered, they don't really know what talent is sometimes.
No, of course. Yeah, no.
They're so tunnel-vision.
Hey, man.
One way that they cannot veer off.
Hell yeah. I mean, John Elway's the best quarterback the Denver Broncos ever had, Joe, and he could never find the next great Denver Bronco quarterback. He couldn't find him. He tried it. Brock Osweiler. Oh, God.
Well, he was able
on to... and on and on and on with that guy.
He brought Manning in. I thought that was Lynch.
Jesus.
He can hang his head on that. He brought in Manning.
But he could never find the guy in the draft, a young guy. It's hard, man. It's like it's often said, right? It's not a science. It's not like somebody's got a spreadsheet that says, if you pick this guy, we project this is what's going to happen in 5 years, in 7 years. And like, you just don't know. You just don't know. But you know what it is, Joe? A lot of those guys, and you know, I can't speak to Magic, but we can only speak to what's happened in Charlotte, is that for some reason, Michael's surrounded himself with a lot of yes people. And I'm sure a lot of those people were basically saying to each other, he likes him? Really? When everybody knows, like, when he lost out, he really detests tanking. He hates it, right? But the 1 year he tried it, right? Do you remember that? It was 2012. He really wanted to get Anthony Davis, and that was all the talk, right, Joe? And then he ended up with Michael Kidd-Gilchrist, and a lot of people are like, who? Yeah. So it's not an exact science. It never is. You're never going to hit 100%.
The tanking method in the NBA is the one exception to figuring out, you know, kind of figuring out what your next move is, because the NBA is structured really in two ways. And either you're going to compete for a championship or you're going to tread water long enough to make the playoffs, but you know you're not going to win anything. So you got to be either really bad or really good. And that's pretty much what it is. Boy, that would have changed stuff, wouldn't it? Charlotte getting AD?
Oh, yeah.
Wonder how that would have worked out. But I don't know. I don't know if AD stays in Charlotte or continues to do what he did. Going to New Orleans was definitely not the right place. New Orleans is very similar to kind of Minnesota and those type places. You have to have something there that really kind of puts you up. I know Milwaukee is the exception there, but, you know, with Giannis, Milwaukee was kind of known as the Siberia of the NBA as well.
Yeah, I mean, really, the only guy Minnesota ever really hit on was KG.
Yeah.
That was it. You tried to have something there with Starbury and Spree, and that was a very potent trio, especially defensively, because outside of Michael Jordan in the 90s, a lot of people would argue Latrell Sprewell is probably the best defensive shooting guard. I wouldn't, but some people would. As we segue back into the West, Joe, the West is a different story right now. So Denver is going to finish first. There's nobody that's going to exceed them. They're probably going to end up with around 57, 58 wins, all told. The two seed is up for grabs. It's basically it's going to be one of Phoenix, Memphis, or Sacramento. One of those three teams is going to end up the two. The other two, if they basically stay on a similar course, or even if they dipped a little bit, I would say those are your top four teams in the West. Denver, Memphis, Phoenix, and Sacramento. And differentiate the last three how you want. Then after that, it's the shuffle. It's who's going to end up fifth, who's going to end up sixth. And you got the Clippers, you got the Mavs, you got the Lakers, you got the Jazz, you got the Pelicans, you got the Thunder. Who do you think ends up in the fifth and sixth spot, Joe?
Jeez. Well, looking at what's going on right now, Miami's up by one with 2.5 left. Memphis is going to beat Dallas. Houston's up 85-80 against the Celtics at the end of three. I don't know. I have no idea, honestly. This is the most mediocre West run I've ever seen in my NBA viewing life.
The West is bad.
You have five. This is just – it's mind-boggling to me. From 5 to 13 – it's only separated by 4 games in a loss column.
Yeah, it's not.
I can't understand that right now. You're talking the 13th. Guys, there's only one. There's only 15 teams in each conference. And the 13th team this late in the season is. I'm not even talking about the play-in. Forget the play-in. Play-in two games. I'm talking about the difference between the fifth seed. And the 13th seed is 4 games this late in the year. So I have no idea how this is going to turn out. I might as well just throw confetti in the air and see what kind of comes down.
Yeah, if you're the great Kreskin, right?
Yeah, I have no idea, honestly. And it's going to come down to, honestly, for us as Laker fans, we're going to have to see if Anthony Davis can finish this season off without a game like he had the last couple nights, even though one was a win. He did take full blame for the loss this last time. I don't know if his gameplay was an issue more so than the fact that he missed 4 free throws. And it was usually
He was off all night.
And I don't know. I just don't know if AD has enough focus to dominate game in and game out. He's never really been that guy. He just never has. And while I'm not trying to compare him to Shaq, Shaq has one MVP and an illustrious career, a dominant career, because he was not available in the regular season. He wasn't available. He was, in a lot of ways, the first kind of load management guy without being a load management. But the thing
when he had that stomach muscle injury – In that second season, I was like, damn, like they might have to sit him out like half the season because it's so serious. That was the talk at the time. And yeah, you're right, Joe. To be fair, yeah, like Shaq was, yeah, he was sort of the first load management big.
Now we didn't care because when he started playing towards the end of the year, Shaq didn't miss playoff games. He was all there. So you were okay with it. You were okay with him And it was a little easier having Kobe backing him up too. Kobe having 40-point average months while he's not playing, right? Problem is we weren't winning those games a lot because we didn't have any depth. And we're in a position here in the West, fortunate for us being as bad as we are, that we are in a time at this moment where things are kind of even. So we have a chance to possibly jump up a few slots and make up for all the bad that we've had the last this last 4 months. So we're gonna get a chance to see here probably within the next 2 weeks. The next 2 weeks is gonna dictate kind of where the standings are gonna probably be after that.
Yeah, I mean, who knows how it's gonna shake out? It's like a pinata, man. Somebody's just going to hit it, and like you said, it's all just going to fly out all over the ground. We're going to see where everything is at the end. I do not – but seriously, as a Laker fan, I do not want to go through this play-in shoot again. I don't want the play-in shoot in my life. I'd like to just get the sixth seed and just deal with that at the end of the day, because – I understand the plan is here to stay. Not a huge fan of it. Don't dislike it either, but I just don't want my team to participate in it again with LeBron James and Anthony Davis. I mean, enough is enough.
Enough is enough, but we're going to have to sit and eat it. What we have.
You tell me I'm going to have to sit here and eat it. You know something, Joe? Let me tell you something, my friend. I've been a Raider fan for well over 30 years. And when I found out they signed Jimmy Garoppolo as their quarterback, you know what image popped into my head? 5-12. That's probably what you are with Jimmy G as your quarterback. And it's the life that we've chosen as the Silver and Black fans. It's this life. It's constant disappointment. It doesn't have to bleed over to the purple and gold, man. It just doesn't. Nobody wants this in the league. We're used to winning 50-plus, going deep, and possibly winning a chip. This play-in stuff, it's great, but it's for other teams. It's not for us. It's not for us. So before we head on out, I just wanted to ask you one more thing about our NBA observations show, and that's this. At the end of the day, there's going to come ahead with what's transpired over the past few years. I'm talking about three incidents in particular, and you're probably gonna know where I'm going with this. So want one in the chamber ready. Ben Simmons, James Harden. What do you make of the situation now? Simmons still can't get on the court. At the end of the day, do you even think he's going to be in the NBA at the end of his contract, Joe?
Yes, but I don't know what his next contract will likely be. One more team kind of trying to give him a shot, and then after that, it'll be done. Ben Simmons is not mentally capable of having a NBA career. He is a mental midget with mental issues. It's going to sound insensitive how my tone is in describing it. But I have said this a few times. I've had to repeat this. He had the issues mentally to not play, but his issues went away when he wanted his money. You know, that's always the interesting part. So you're having issues, right? But yet you were well enough to press a button and saying, I want my money though.
I often see him as the NBA's version of Le'Veon Bell.
I think that's a great comparison because both players were at the cusp of becoming Hall of Fame players.
Yes.
And completely butchered it in a, yeah. in a season, in one season. I it's still mind-boggling to me how those incidences happen. I really can't figure out. I mean,
we've talked about this off air, but you know, we've got a few minutes here, so on air would be great. You and I have often talked about how wasted talent is a sin. To waste potential is a sin. It's not as if you didn't have it. You had it. You had all the ingredients. You just didn't go for it.
No, because it's hard day in and day out to be dedicated. After a while, guys check out. One of the examples I use of a player that should still be playing that is gone. Like, he was gone even a few years ago, which is Cam Newton. Cam Newton came in the NFL in 2011. Granted, a lot of his game was at, you know, kind of a dual role of throwing and running. But in an NFL where you're protected, he could have very easily developed a good pocket game and ran when he had to, but he never wanted to develop it, or he couldn't develop it for whatever reason. And it's 2023. Quarterbacks nowadays, 13 years in the league, should be still in their prime. Mm-hmm. He's gone. He's done. He's finished. He's wearing feathered hats and fur coats and doing fashion shows now. That's where his brain went. It wasn't focused on the game. He wanted to make his money. He wanted the fame. The second his athleticism went away, he needed to start using his brain. His brain melted and went into whatever it is the hell he does now. So in a lot of ways, there are players out there that actually are still good players, great players, MVPs, whatever, that still could have done more if they were a little bit more focused. Shaq is, in my opinion, a player that could have been. Still, even after all the accomplishments, Shaquille O'Neal should not have ever lost in 95 or in 04. He should have never lost those finals, number one, and he should have probably won 8 titles for as dominant as he was. But Shaq cared about the little dumb things that didn't really matter in the end. Whether he regretted it or not, I don't know. Every time I hear him talk to Kobe in interviews, taped interviews and all those stuff, and man, we screwed up here, we screwed up there. I'm a little bit jaded in believing that stuff. Shaq has had a habit in his life of kind of fibbing a lot or exaggerating things. Shaq did not like Kobe.
No.
He did not like Kobe. Stop telling me it was marketing. It was not effing marketing, okay? You didn't like Kobe. He took your spot. You hated him for it because your ego got in the way, and that's what happens when you're at that level. And Kobe wanted to win without, and Kobe's fault was he didn't want to win with anybody except himself because he wanted to prove himself. And that was a detriment to team basketball. Maybe not a detriment to us, you know, as viewers, because for us, shoot, we had Shaq and Kobe for 8 years, then we had Kobe for another 12 years. Cool. But I don't care about that stuff. I cared about winning. I care about championships. But these guys have other things on their mind, and we have to be the ones that have to watch basically grown men be catty and ruin what could have been bigger things. So, yeah, it's James Harden trade has obviously become a very big win for the Sixers, and there's a slight chance, I mean a slight chance, that if they can get a couple bounces going their way, they could find themselves in the finals.
Mm-hmm.
And the West is not strong. The 2019 Sixers were probably a shot or two away from probably winning the title that year. God, how much would that have been different for Ben Simmons if he had won a title that year, right? Maybe his mental state doesn't go down, right? So if the Sixers can continue to kind of be what they are right now, which is, you know, there's a lot of good chemistry there. I know Doc Rivers is still coaching, and I know he has issues closing out series, but I have a soft spot for Doc Rivers forever, no matter what happens, because And this happens to me sometimes. I cannot talk bad of Doc Rivers ever, as long as I'm alive, because of one interview. And it was because I felt like I was teleported into Doc Rivers' brain at that point. Him breaking down after Kobe died was one of the just still memories that explained the pain. The way his voice cracked, his demeanor, it was just, and I cannot talk bad about Doc Rivers after that, no matter what he does on as a coach, because I have so much respect and so much love for him at that moment. And in a lot of ways now, I'm kind of wanting, I want them to win. I want them to win in the East. Milwaukee's fine too, but I would rather have Philly win than Boston.
I think ultimately, if it does come down to a couple balls bouncing their way, I've told this to Gerald, and I'll say it again: if the Sixers do end up getting into the finals, it's going to be more so due to Tyrese Maxey than James Harden. Because we know what Joel Embiid is capable of. He's going to bring it every night. But Maxey's the one who needs the ball in his hands at the end of games, not Harden, especially in the playoffs. We know the history with James Harden in the playoffs, and he knows it himself. Maxey is a gutsy, gutsy kid. He's got a lot of chutzpah, and he's got game to him, too. If people thought Emmanuel Quickly was good, Tyrese Maxey's better than Emmanuel Quickly, and he can light it up real quick. The Mavs and the Sixers played it a few days ago. The Mavs are up 25. As soon as they brought Maxey off the bench, the next commercial break, the Sixers are down by 4. So he's going to be the difference if they make an NBA Finals. And with that, any parting thoughts before we go, Joe?
Well, Memphis beat Dallas. Utah loses to Miami. And Houston is beating the Celtics by 9 with 5:11 left in the fourth. So we need the Warriors to lose tonight against the Suns. So we're gonna see how this plays out tonight. And hopefully we play New Orleans tomorrow and get that not only the win and go up one game, but also get the tiebreaker for the season.
Yeah, something tells me the Suns win tonight. Golden State really doesn't have an answer for DeAndre Ayton. So I expect the Suns victory. With that, the Lakers will gain a half game on a bunch of teams. We need that. All right, so we're going to end the podcast right now. Happy to have my friend and colleague Joe Soro join me on Lakers Fast Break NBA Observations. Please hit the like and subscribe button. It'll help us out immensely. And with that, good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and we'll see you tomorrow night for the Lakers Fast Break post game.